Exact one.
They said they both said God.
Okay, you're right. Huh? Testings come from God. Where else? Any sec one goals? Okay, they also say God. Okay, very good. Anywhere else? Sec two, boys. Where else does testing come from?
We are considering
same. Girls? Same. Sec three? Anything else? Come from teachers. Okay, teachers. Okay. Anything else? Anybody else? Girls? Same. Yourself. You test yourself. That one's foolishness. You let. Well, there are two other things, two other sources besides besides teacher. We rub away the teacher. There are two. Anybody? Olivia? Okay. What's the question?
Okay, let's take up the Lord's word. And last week we were looking at how,
well, Satan is also a person who allows testings to come. Okay? I mean, he's the one, well, God is the one that allows testing to come. Satan is the one who brings about testings. Okay? Like, for example, Jesus. Let's turn to Matthew. Okay, in Matthew chapter 4, we read of how Jesus was tempted. Verse 1, chapter 4. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. The word tempted is also the word tested. Okay, to be tested. To be tested by the devil. So temptation and testing is very similar idea. Can also come from Satan. Okay, Olivia? So God allows us to go through certain testings in life. And they can come from God. They can come from Satan. Now, one more. It can also come from life. Okay? It can also come from life itself. Life itself has its own testings. Like, for example, your exams. That is is a part of life. You have to go through testings. Okay? And, you know, we thank God for Davina. Wow, she has gone through. How many exams have you taken?
And you will see the scriptures.
I'm really happy.
Yeah, you know, we should look forward to that day. End of exams, right? But, you know, life will have all its testings. You see, when I was in school, I was glad I studied hard. Well, at least was most of it. I studied hard because when I went to the Air Force, when I was a pilot in the Air Force, a pilot trainee, wow, the kind of testing, crazy, these people. Monday to Friday, 8 to 5 o'clock. They will teach you one subject. Say, for example, aerodynamics. Aerodynamics is the dynamics of flight. How does a helicopter fly? Okay? So, Monday, 8 to 5, you study. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Wow! Can you imagine? That's how many periods? One day, okay, how many? That's about 8-9 periods. Wow, so okay, that's 9, wow, that's 18 periods, can you imagine? One day, 18 periods, right? And then, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, so how many? Okay, count, 18 times 5? 90. Wow, okay, 90. Saturday, exam.
I'm so sorry about that, but
Saturday exam. How many days do you have to study?
Somehow as well. So yeah, definitely.
Not even one day. That night you you study the whole night. You only have 12 hours to study. 5 o'clock, they end, no need to go for dinner. Straight away you study. The next day is the exam at 8 o'clock. Wow, I tell you, it's super, super stressful. And you know, that went on for 2 months. 8 subjects. Wow. Wow, I thank God. I passed all of them. I was last in class, but never mind. I still passed all of them. Never mind. Because I was an art student, you see. The rest, a human student. The rest, all science student, physics student. You know, I was the only art student. So I didn't understand quite a few of those things. But nevertheless, I studied hard. And that's called a testing. That's life. Okay, now, next question. Why does God test our faith? Why? Why does God... Okay, you can give out the notes. Why does God allow us to go through testings? Do you all discuss that? Yes or no? Do you all discuss? Why? Okay, anybody? Which group discuss? Bethany? Why? Why does God allow us to go through testings? Our faith. Okay. Why? Why exercise your faith? So that what? Number one, I think firstly, God wants to test our faith, is to test whether it is genuine. Whether we have real faith at all. Okay? Whether it's genuine. Number two, God allows us to go through testing is because it's to help us grow further. To grow our faith further. Sometimes we need to grow our faith further. Okay? And then, number three, is to be able to go beyond challenges. To go beyond. Okay? To find the strength to go beyond all the challenges of life. Whatever it is, that one day God will bring about His blessings in our life. So it's about growth, it's about genuineness, it's about going beyond. Okay? Now, turn with me to Hebrews, our favorite book. And once again, we study about this person by the name of Abraham. And he was going to be tested. Hebrews 11 and in verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac when he, who had received the promises, offered up his only begotten son. Now, this is what I call a big test. This is huge exam. This is PSLE. This is O level. This is A level. This is, this is huge exam. Okay? And what was the test? Now, you turn with me to Genesis 22. Okay, you turn to Genesis 22. And this is what God said to Abraham. In verse 1, we read, "And now it came to pass, after these things, that God tested Abraham, and said to Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." And he said, "Take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." Wow, this was a huge, huge test. And the test was for Abraham to sacrifice, to offer his son to God. Wow. Now let's pause for a moment. Do you think that is a big, big test? Huh, Ryan? Do you think it's a big test? Do you have any pets? Used to. Okay, what happened to your pet? Died. Okay. Do you have pets? No. Anybody got pets? Yeah. Okay. You know, for me, would I offer up my pet for anything? Yes, I might. Because I don't really love them very much. But let's ask Gavin. Where's Gavin? Aha! Gavin has a son. His name is Jasher. Now, let me ask you, Gavin, would you, if God were to require you to sacrifice, to offer up your son, will you do it?
You know, we've been facing a little bit about Abraham.
And it's very hard, isn't it? The son whom you love.
There were difficulties, you know,
to offer him up. Wow. That is a huge test. Okay? And what did Abraham do? Look at. Did he say, wow, God, this is too hard. Maybe some of us will respond by, hey, you know, Lord, this is too unreasonable. How can you ask me to sacrifice my son? You see, we will raise all kinds of issues. Are you sure or not? You got the right person. Right?
Huh?
Wow, this is a really, really hard thing. Okay, let's come back to Gavin. How? You think this is a reasonable thing? It's not right. Huh? It's not a reasonable thing. And I'm sure it was very hard for you to offer your own son. But look at Abraham. What's the test? The test here is a test of obedience. It's a test of obedience. Abraham, this is a son you love. Would you love me more than your son? Would you obey me more than you will obey your own self? Wow. That, you know, is going to take strength. Right? Okay, let's come back to Gavin. Well, I'm glad you have a son. Huh? You know, if you were to offer your son, what would it take? Okay, say for example, if you were to offer Jasher, what is it going to take for you to offer Jasher? First, you got to talk to Sherry. Right. What would it? Wow, it's good. If God require you to do this, it's going to take every ounce of strength and faith to do it.
Very difficult, right?
Isn't it?
I think human
maybe
nature.
Maybe he or she is crying in the middle of the night. Okay.
Yes.
Lord, take her.
I would definitely ask God why.
I don't think. That point.
In Abraham's probably case, he didn't really ask.
But you know, it's
yes. Why? Now that is true strength. He didn't ask why. You know what? He just went ahead and he did it. Look, he rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, took two of his young men, not sons, with him, and Isaac, his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering, arose and went to the place of which God had told him. And he went. But you see, he exercised faith.
Are you saying yes to my question?
He really exercised faith.
Yeah, I
Okay, how? How did he exercise faith? Because he exercised faith in God's promises. God's promise from Abraham, from Isaac, will come a great nation. Right? So from Isaac, one person, from Abraham, there will come many nations. Correct? Do you understand that? Many nations will come from Isaac. So somehow he has to survive the sacrifice. Correct? Somehow he will survive. Somehow something's going to happen. God's going to do something to help him survive, to help him get a wife later, and then give birth to children, and then have a great nation. Right? Wow. So, you know, this is about having faith in God. It's about having faith in God that God can raise the dead. Wow. That is an amazing thing. Okay? It's about believing that somehow God would have the power to raise Isaac after he sacrificed Isaac. Can you see? Now, you turn with me. You turn with me to the book of Romans. Okay, and let me try to explain this a bit more.
Let's look at verse...
Book of Romans.
By faith, Abraham, when he was...
We read. You see, if I were to ask, okay, Ryan, maybe I ask Ryan now. You think you will have a son one day? Huh? Yes or no? Do you want to have children? Don't know. Okay, good to have. That's a good answer. Don't know. Okay, but if one day if you have a son, would you sacrifice your son?
He was given a promise.
Would you?
The promise of a son.
Would you or not?
And he saw, he believed that God is going to bring a...
Would you kill your son? Because God asked you to.
Sarah, if I think of it now,
and Sarah was made strong enough to be able to have a son. He believed in that promise. And that part of the promise was fulfilled.
When I think of it, I think...
And
yeah, so in your mind, you think, okay, I would, right? But maybe when you become like... Teacher Gavin. Wow, you think twice. Right? Good answer. I like that. Huh? You know, that's why at this point of time, it's very hard for us to pass such a test. Because maybe we may not be strong enough to pass such a test. And so for Abraham, did he have such strength of... Was he weak in faith? Well, let's turn to Romans 4.
We actually see this verse.
In Romans 4, we read of how, you know, he was not weak in faith. Okay? He had a faith that was strong enough to pass the test. Okay? Now, let's take a look. In verse... Okay, in Romans chapter 4 and in verse 17, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. Can you see? I have made you a father of many nations. Now, who's good in English? I have made you a father of many nations.
Since Abraham shall surely become a great...
Okay, English. Now, English exam.
And all the nations of the earth shall be...
I have made you.
So that was...
What's that?
That was...
What tense is that?
And then in chapter 21, verse...
What tense is that?
12. Okay. After Haggai,
what tense is that?
Departed,
eaten.
God said to Abraham,
Pochong.
Do not be displeased. Right? In verse 12.
Chinese, okay. But what's that? Listen. Who's from RJ? Alright, alright. Anybody from RJ? Ah, okay. Andrew pointing to Justin, Justin pointing to Andrew. Okay, what tense is this? This is a?
Will be blessed. This is the promise.
Past tense, right? This is a past tense. Past tense means it is ready, done.
Can you believe that?
Okay, it's called a perfect past tense. Okay, in other words, God says, I have made you. Okay, I have made you. In other words, in God's mind, you are already a father of many nations. But actually, in reality, when God said this to Abraham, there was still no Isaac. Can you see how significant this is? Do you understand or not? You don't follow what I'm saying. Are you following what I'm saying? He already said it in God's mind. It's already done. Abraham, you are already a father of many nations. It's not done yet in reality, but in God's mind, in God's heart, it's already done.
Back to Hebrews.
All Abraham have to do is to believe in this promise. Can you see?
He concluded.
And so Abraham believed.
That God was able to
he believed that promise
from the day from which
from
he
God.
Also received him in a figurative sense.
Can you see?
Now, let me just try and explain that a little bit.
He believed.
For you.
You see, how do you find faith? How can we find God?
The word
well, we believe
the word
in God's word. How do you succeed? Okay, look. In verse 18, who contrary to hope, in hope believe, so that he became the father of many nations. Now, this is the promise. I have made you. God promised. The result is when he exercised faith, it says there, he became the father of many nations. Can you see how significant those words are? He became. When he exercised faith, there was result. There came the result. He became the father of many nations. And what did he do? He exercise faith. He believed. He believed in God. Okay? He believed in God's power. Verse 17. We read, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did.
I can raise Isaac.
Wow. Okay, let's stop for a moment. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yaning, you understand what I'm saying?
And that's what he was able
Chloe, you understand what I'm saying?
Okay.
Jonathan.
And
you understand what I'm saying? You following? Let's ask the younger ones.
Right?
Ryan, you understand or not?
He also received him.
You sure? Don't just say yes because I'm asking.
The word figurative.
You following?
Is where you get the word
okay?
Parable.
What I'm trying to say is that when God gives a word or promise, it is as good as done. He's going to do it. Okay, if God says, you know what, I'm going to be with you as you go through the problems of life. I'm going to be with you as you take your exams. In God's mind, it is good as done. He's going to be there with you. But you must believe. Your part is that I must trust. My part is, you see, For Abraham, he believed that God is going to raise Isaac from the dead.
Do you understand the logic?
Wow.
No logic.
Look, the power, look in verse 17, who gives life to the dead. Wow, so he believed his God is going to give life to Isaac, even though I kill him now. God is going to bring him back alive and cause those things which do not exist as if they did. Verse 18, who contrary to hope, even if it means, you know, in your own mind, it's very hard to believe. Right? I mean, would you? It's very hard to believe, right, Bethany? Right? It's very hard to believe. Joseph, easy to believe or not? God raising the dead. Wow! It's very hard to believe. But you know, Abraham believed. And he, even though it seemed like it was hopeless, even if it seemed like it's against hope, no hope, against hope. Some of you, your studies, you feel against hope. No hope, Chinese, no hope. Hopeless, this is a hopeless case. As you all prepare for your exam, how many of you feel that certain subjects hopeless? Raise your hand. Anybody? Olivia. Anything? What's hopeless? Do you feel that maybe some of the subjects is hopeless? You can't study this? Chinese. Okay, let me put it for you. Chinese. That's hopeless. Huh? What's the second one? What's the second one?
It is the third day. Huh? Wow, we don't read too much.
What's the second subject that's hopeless? Math.
See, wow, it's quite interesting. And Abraham said to the young man, stay here with
the what else? PE.
And I will be and worship, and we will come back to you.
Huh? PE. PE is hopeless. Hey, PE is the only subject you will never fail.
Huh?
Nafa test. Okay. Yeah, okay, Nafa test. You see, we feel that sometimes there are certain things in our life, it is hopeless. But you know, not with God, if you have faith in God. When you have faith in God, even though it is hopeless, in hope, you believe. You can believe. And you can believe in God's promises. And you know what? You can still overcome whatever hopeless case you may feel you are in. I used to think I was hopeless in certain things in my life. Chinese was one of them. This was my number one hope. I was a hopeless case. HC. I was a hopeless case when it came to Chinese. But you know what? I didn't give up. I believe. I believe that I can still pass it. And I worked hard at it. Okay? Recently, there's in YouTube, there's a very interesting video of a 4x400 meters relay. I don't know whether you all watched it. Okay? It's a ICU. Some Irish inter games between four girls team. Okay, and you know it's 4x400, right? 4x400, you got to run around the track four times. Four different runners running around the track four times. Okay, and there were about maybe eight teams running. And so there was one team when the whistle went. Wow, so this team was leading all the way. So the first round, they were leading. Second round, they were leading. Third round, they were leading. Now, on the fourth round, the last runner, they were leading. Then, okay, second team. Wow, caught up. Caught up, halfway through here, overtook them. Okay, then there was another team, third one, overtook. So there were these two, and then the first one that kept, you know, being, they were first, the first three rounds, and they were coming, running, towards the end. Okay? And right at the end, the team that was last on the first three rounds, the last person to leave on the, you know, towards the last lap, the person caught up. And she was running for her life. Caught up with slowly catching up. And just before the finishing line, just about 5 meters from the finishing line, that girl who was last caught up, overtook 7 athletes, runners, and just 5 meters before the finishing line, she passed her and she came in first. And she collapsed. Wow. When I saw that video, I was amazed. See, sometimes you think you are a hopeless case. But in God's eyes, you are not hopeless. In God's eyes, you can be hopeful.
God, who gives life to the dead,
if you have faith in Him, if you believe, and look, Abraham believed and he became the father of many nations. And by the way, I passed my Chinese.
The kind of faith that Abraham had.
I was a HC, a hopeless case. But when I had a new Chinese tuition teacher, I became hopeful.
For Sarah,
I was not weak in faith. I found faith. Look, in verse 20, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. You see, why are we hopeless at times? Because we have unbelief. We have doubts. We don't believe that God can help us. But when we believe that God can help us, you know what? Abraham believed in God. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith. Wow, he became strong in faith. You know, there's a story told. I just read a book. It's called Out of the Depths. And it's a story about how there was this man, there was this, you know, his name is Edgar Harriet. And he was one of those sailors on this boat called the Indianapolis. And they were on a secret mission during the World War II. And they went to deliver some parts for the atomic bomb that was going to be dropped on Nagasaki and Hiroshima. And on the way back, you see, it was so secret, top secret, nobody knew they were there. And on the way back, they were shot by a submarine, Japanese submarine. And the boat sank. You see, they were so top secret, they didn't even know, the Americans didn't even know that the ship sank. And there were about 800 people on board. And when they sank, a lot of them died. Some survived. But a lot of them were attacked by sharks. Okay? Some of them, if you drink lots of salt water, what happened to you? What happens to you if you drink lots of salt water? You become dehydrated. You actually become crazy. You do not know what's happening. You start, you know, going bonkers. And after a while, you will die. Okay? And a lot of them started dying. But one of the things he did was that he prayed. Because he was a Christian and he was trying to stay afloat, he prayed. He told God, God, it says in your word, you will not forsake me, but you will deliver me. And he exercised faith. He exercised faith and he believed somehow that God would specially watch over him. Now, around him, there were sharks. And the sharks will come and attacked the men, and they pulled them away from the group. Wow, for 5.5 days, he prayed. And he kept praying. 5 days, if you don't drink water, what happens to you? You will die. But you know, as he prayed one day, he kept praying. He said, Lord, you know, I really need a drink of water now. You know what happened? It began to rain. It started raining. Wow, and so they started, you know, being able to drink. And they were very hungry. And he prayed, Lord, can you just provide something? No food in the middle of the ocean. Where got food? The fish not going to come to you and, hello, eat me. You know what happened? There was a crate of potato, rotten potatoes, floated by. And they opened it up, and the potato was rotten on the outside, but it was still good on the inside. And so they started eating the potato on the third or fourth day. And he kept praying. He kept praying, Lord, deliver me. On the fifth and a half day, there was this aeroplane that was flying up in the sky, passing by. They were not supposed to pass by that place. And so, as they were flying by, because they were so high, they were flying by. And so happened, there was this lieutenant on board. And then at a point of time, you know, he dropped something. Boom. And then he looked down. As he looked down, there was a window. And out the window, in the corner of his eye, he saw something shining in the sea. And then he told the guy, hey, there's something down there. And then the pilot said, okay, let's go and take a look. And as they went down, then they saw all the survivors. Now, they radioed back, asked for help, but they knew that they needed to do something straight away, because all of them, they were all going to die already. And so the pilot landed the aircraft in the sea, okay, and the whole aircraft, you know, couldn't fly anymore. But everybody got on board the aircraft, you see. It was floating. It's one of those aircraft with floats. And so this aircraft was bopping in the sea, and everybody was just trying to grab on top. And so the next day, the ship came, and everybody was safe. Out of 800 people, only 317 survived. And he was one of them. And he's still alive today. And you know, he gives this testimony that God helped him when he believed, when he hoped. Hopeless situation, and yet he had hope. Okay, and so young people, this afternoon, you know, maybe you feel that things are hopeless. Can we have hope in God? My answer is yes. Maybe you feel, wow, everything seems to be against hope. Your studies, no hope. Can you have hope? My answer is yes. You really can. Okay? And God can help us to have this sense of hope in Him if we exercise hope in His promises. Verse 20. Let's read that again together. Ready? Go. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. And you know, this man, you know, in the end, he gave glory to God. He goes around now all over America, and you know, he speaks about how God helped him in his time of need. And you know, even as you all go through your exams the next few weeks, remember, you don't go through it alone. God is with you, and God can help you. But you got to exercise faith. You see, I cannot do that for you. I cannot exercise faith for you. I can't. I can only exercise faith for myself. You have to exercise faith. You have to believe. You have to exercise hope in God and in His promises. And will God help? Yes. Will He bless? Yes. Will you grow and become stronger one day? Yes. But you got to start now. Okay? You got to start now. Will life have bigger tests in time to come? My answer is yes, definitely. There will be bigger tests in time to come. And so the challenge for all of you is to start now learning to have true faith, genuine faith. Okay? Or can I just share about what you all went through? Is it okay? Audrey, during the week, together with Alina, and they were driving along the road, and all of a sudden, this Chinaman came out of nowhere, and, you know, they banged into the man. He just came out of nowhere. And wow, it was a real shock to the both of them. You see, sometimes these things can come out of nowhere. And it was very traumatic, isn't it? Did he fly through the air, or did you see him scream, or no? He hit the front and then he flew. Yeah. And wow. And you know, sometimes these things happen out of the blues. You don't know. And it can be very, very traumatic if you are in such a situation. Was it very traumatic for you? So what do you do after you went through it? Do you pray? Yeah, you had school yourself. That was traumatizing also. No. Yeah, and it's tough. Sorry?
Yes, let's
meet. Yeah, of course. Well, I spoke to your sister and I encouraged her, and now she's much better. And you know, wow, you go through such a thing, it can be very challenging. But you know, in times like this, you learn to have faith. You learn to pray. You learn to trust God especially.
That's what I learned.
You don't know. Sometimes these things can happen. I was driving my car not too long ago, and all of a sudden, this cyclist out of nowhere just came in. And I banged into him. Oh, I still remember him. I hit him. He was flying through the air. Time spot stop. And you know, he was rolling on my bonnet. He flew down. Wow, I tell you, when I got out of the car and he was on his ground, he was lying on the ground, I thought he was dead. I thought he was paralyzed. I say, wow. You know, in times like this, you really got to pray. And I really prayed that he was still okay. And so I went to him, I shouted at him, "Are you okay?" Say, yes, I'm okay. So I thought, alamak. You know, maybe he broke his back or something. Then he said, "Give me 2 minutes." I said, "Okay." Then after two minutes, I helped him take out his helmet. Then he looked at me. Then he sat up. Then he got up. Then he started walking. He started, "Okay." I said, "Are you okay?" He said, "Yeah, I'm okay. Anything broken?" No, nothing broken. Oh, I tell you, I was so happy. I was so glad. And all he had was some bruises, and that's it. So I paid for everything. I paid for his medical expenses, and I paid for the will. You know, one will, that kind of will, you know how much or not? $2,000. What kind of will made of gold? $2,000, can you imagine? But he was very nice. He said, "Don't worry, you don't need to get me a new one. I know a friend second hand. He doesn't want. I can buy it from him. $500. Wow, I was so happy. And it's true enough. You go and check on the internet, it's $2,000. One wheel. $2,000. Can you imagine? You know, sometimes you go through something like that. Wow, you can really feel it. And after that, I felt, you know what I feel like doing? I don't want to drive anymore. You see, you can react in that way. But I learned to trust and to pray. Is your sister better now? Yeah, good. Okay, so let's be prepared. Let's be prepared for testings in life. You don't know what will come your way, but you know, you learn how to trust God as you go through things like that. Ken? Okay, well, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we want to pray and thank you for the example of Abraham, of what he went through and how he was able to exercise full obedience, how he was able to exercise faith in you and in your promises. We pray, dear Lord, that you will also help us to believe in you and in your promises, in your word, that you will be with us even as we go through, whether it's exams or whether it is sudden challenges in life. And we pray, dear Lord, that you will guide us and help us to grow our faith further. So be with us, Lord. Be with everyone who's going to take their exams these next few weeks. We pray, dear Lord, that you will help them to do their very best for you and not to give up when the questions are hard, and they can know that you are with them. And we ask, dear Father, that you bless us as we give this offering to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, let's give our offering.